Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Crickets to Cha-Chings podcast. I'm Julie Berninger, and I'm here with my co-host, Sasha Hutchison. We are from Gold City Ventures, and we have a special guest with us today. We have Jenny, who's an Etsy seller who sells printables. Welcome, Jenny. Can you introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah. Hi, guys. I'm really excited to be here. My name is Jenny Metzler. I have had my Etsy shop, I think it technically says it opened in 2012, but I really started selling things, I think, around the 2019 timeframe. I was selling physical products where I was making party banners and supplies, and then got really burnt out with that and joined the printable group in, I think it was 2021.
Well, welcome today. I can't wait to dive into your shop. Before we do that, I want to reintroduce Sasha in case those of you missed the last episode. Sasha, can you give everyone a little nugget about you?
Yeah, I am a top 1% seller in the digital product space. I love selling digital products. I was drawn to it for the whole not having to hold inventory aspect. So I enjoy that. I am historically a crafter myself. I love to knit. I like to sew. I sew a lot of my kids' clothes, actually. I knit their hats and stuff like that. But I love the power of digital products and how you can scale them easily and quickly, make them once, sell them forever again. I also help people by creating courses and commercial use templates to help them scale their businesses. I coach people. I like to help and see others excel in their businesses, whatever it may be.
And Sasha is our head coach in our new Beyond program that's launching mid-month. And Jenny is one of the four fabulous beta testers who waded through all the unfinished material and gave us lots of feedback. So thank you, Jenny, for doing that.
Of course.
Awesome. Okay. So we're going to talk about printables today. But if you are a handmade seller, keep listening because the stuff that we will chat about is relevant to anyone that sells on Etsy and who wants to continue beyond Etsy as well. So the first thing I wanted to chat about, Jenny, is that your shop has been taken over by Golf Printables, and I'm here for it. So tell me the story on how this happened.
Oh, it really has. Like, if I didn't think I have a niche, but I really do. It started out, you know, like I said before, I was doing banners and party supplies. And so it really started, I have two little boys. And for every birthday party, I'm, again, kind of a crafter at heart. You know, really look at Pinterest to kind of, you know, take my parties beyond kind of just the stuff you can buy at Party City. And so I was making, I have a Silhouette cameo. I do a lot of paper craft machine. I also do some like vinyl things and I've done t-shirts and things, but I really kind of found my love for the tool and love for the product. And I was making basically cardstock banners. And so I started to sell those. I would make them also for my friends and their kids' parties. And my best friend was like, you should really start selling this on Etsy. And so that kind of was the nudge that I needed to really kick that off. I just, you know, like I got burnt out making the physical products. I had a corporate job. I was on phone calls and then had my die cutter, you know, cutting the things in the background. So I'd be running from a conference call to like reload the paper and hit start and have that kind of going in the background. And it just, it really took off from an Etsy perspective. And lo and behold, golf is, it took over. It's my number one seller. I golf not well, but like, I'm not a huge golfer. I have to still Google like golf terms and, you know, puns and things like that. But it is really taken off. It wasn't something that I had planned. It was just, you know, someone started buying that and then I get a lot of custom orders. And so they'll reach out and say, hey, do you have this or do you have this number or this number? And then I create it and then it's in my shop forever. And that's just kind of how it expanded into this golf shop, if you will.
I love that because we see many people come into the printables program and they don't have a niche and then they ultimately find one over time. And I prefer that actually than trying to come in with a niche because usually someone you've been selling for a while, but someone brand new might not pick a good niche, but I'm going to vote stick with the golf. And when we're talking in the context of selling beyond Etsy, I think it will be easier for you to make the right decisions if you just have that golf as the North Star. And also, it's a good one. It's not like we're leading you down a path where there's not going to be demand for it. There are a lot of people that golf. And I mean, pickleball might take it over, but in terms of interest in the public. But for right now, I mean, multiple generations golf, from kids to grandparents, it's a safe bet. Sasha, I'm assuming you agree with me. The vote is stick with golf. But I'm just curious if you have any other thoughts.
Oh, yeah. No, I looked at your shop and I was like, oh, my God, she could be. Because I started to get more into the donation niche like last year, like editable Canva templates to raise money, because I thought people are worried about money, so what would products be that could fit that demand? And so people want to raise money for their sports teams, and you know, there's lots of kids on golf teams and golf tournaments. It's not cheap, so you could do golf donation forms. And then also for the celebration, I do like drag and drop Canva frames, and it say the word golf, and it could be like celebrating Father's Day, and then the word golf could be pictures of dad golfing, or it could be grandpa, or it could be golf team, and then have a bunch of pictures of the team. And that could be a keepsake that at the end of the season, you create that collage of photos with the word golf, drag and drop frames. There's lots of things you could even add and keep growing that golf niche. And like Julie said, there's also other sports like pickleball, which is very up and coming, trending. It's super trendy now. There's pickleball courts at my gym now. And I was like, what's all that noise? And there's all these elderly people playing pickleball, getting into it. So there's lots of opportunity for even adding that and just seeing how it goes, taking your existing content and then growing. And then also you could sell it off of Etsy and like a Shopify and command higher prices. It's just, you could take the existing content and do so much with it and then grow it to be a lifestyle kind of thing. You have a lifestyle website about golf, and you will always, always have traffic for that.
Yeah. So, okay. We're all in agreement. Let's go wild with this golf. And I know, Sasha, you probably have a million more. I researched a whole bunch of, you could do this, you could do that. I mean, I got a list for you here. We'll get into those at the end, but I do want to make sure we talk about your goals for beyond, like, and what does that mean to you? Like, does it mean selling off Etsy? Does it mean just making more money with your existing shop? Do you want to start blogging? Are you interested in social media? I think that'll help guide where we take this conversation.
Yeah. All of the things. I think I suffer from shiny object syndrome, which I think is why, you know, some of the feedback I gave was like, I like the detailed plan, because otherwise I go here and I go there. And, you know, it's like, then I don't go anywhere because I'm so distracted. In taking the golf, and I was really thinking kind of about, you know, building out this website. That's kind of the direction that I think would be best, but obviously you guys are the experts there and would really be open to your feedback, in that realm. I do have a social media presence. I don't post regularly, which I know is an issue. And I think I haven't necessarily focused specifically on golf on my social media. I have kind of all of the things. I've also started doing, which I didn't mention, I'm selling kind of, I think I have 3 or 4 in my shop, SVG files. So things that I was creating, you know, physical items, I'll now take that and get it ready to sell in the SVG. And then again, it's like, you know, not that I'm having to do anything. So, getting those created, but just, you know, having a space of talking, you know, on a blog and saying, okay, here's all the different things that you could do to bring into this party. Here's SVGs that you could do to, you know, create yourself, or here's paper party products, here's banners, all these kind of things.
How did it go with the social media? I'm just curious. Does that sound like something that would be fun to you and something that you're doing, or no?
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. I dabbled a little bit on Instagram. And so I'll kind of, you know, take some of its videos, some of its stills, and then basically have created a reel to show, like, for one, it was like a bear favor SVG. And so you take like basically a brown paper bag, and the SVG is like the face and the ears. And so it's like cutting out, you know, the ears of the bear and kind of putting it all together. So I took still frames and kind of created that. I would say I'm still like a beginner in the like video creation space. So I'm really interested in kind of getting that and exploring more, at least in terms of showing the printables, you know, kind of come to life.
So the reason I'm asking this is because, similar to Sasha, she used the word lifestyle. And that, I think, is the right way to think about going off Etsy, because in the person's mind, they don't have it in their mind yet to be searching for a very specific golf printable. Often they're like three steps up with their birthday party planning, or they're planning for what they're going to do for whatever she mentioned, like group donation or group community type stuff.
Yeah.
And so trying to catch somebody when they're three steps backwards, it's not always about a product shot type thing. It's kind of like how to, oh, here's a great idea of what could be fun for your next X.
Yeah.
And that's how I was sort of imagining you building out this social media piece. Gemini and I had a little conversation this morning about you. I don't know if you use Gemini. It's the ChatGPT competitor, but I'm pulling it up right now. So it was talking a lot about creating content. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Content for kids, where it would be for parents that are looking for fun stuff to do with their kids, but the kids also love golf. So it said printable scorecards for a backyard mini golf course with fun challenges. Mm-hmm. So it's like maybe you didn't necessarily have an idea that it was going to be a birthday party. You was like, oh, here's some summer activities or whatever. Yeah. A DIY golf trophy award, putting simple putting drills with kids to improve their game. It was trying to think of ways to do it lifestyle, I guess. So yeah. That's
in the party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, well, I guess my feedback is you're very deep in the party, but there's other things for golf that you could do that are kind of tangential that could help broaden the market that might be interested in this.
Yeah.
Because myself, I'm a huge blogger keyword person. And when I was searching my favorite tool, Ahrefs, I didn't see tons of demand for something that was already that farther down the funnel where someone's looking for like golf specific printable thing. So if you created a whole blog and business trying to capture these long tail keywords that just don't have tons of traffic, it would be a lot of work for not that much reward. Whereas kind of on social media, when people are browsing for ideas, that might be best. And then after you test that out and you kind of develop a little bit of following, then proceed to building, okay, now I'm going to build the website and I'm going to collect the emails and I'll be more of a lifestyle. I mean, you have, I don't know how you feel about being like a family lifestyle person, but you have kids, you have two little boys. You couldn't build a whole business off of necessarily like just specific golf party stuff, because how many parties can you throw for your kids? But you could expand that later down the line. But for right now, I was thinking creating that kind of lifestyle content for social and driving traffic back to your existing product line might be something you could do, and creating more products too. I don't know. Sasha, what were your thoughts when you used that word lifestyle? Were you thinking something similar?
Well, it just depends on the goals. If the goal is to drive traffic back to your Etsy shop, then yeah, you could do social. But if you're not really into doing tons of videos or trying to drive traffic through social constantly posting, you could do blog posts on a website, you know, and do a roundup post of sorts, or like my 10 best golf party tips or whatever, or golf themed food ideas. You know, people love roundup posts like that. And then once you bring them in, when they're looking for that higher level idea, like Julie was saying, like golf party food or something, then you'd pitch the printables or something, say, add these to your party experience. Yeah. And so you could go either way. It just depends on if you want to create content for a website. And you can even go next level. What I do is I take my existing website content, my blog posts, and I'll even bring them over and rewrite them a little bit and put them on Medium, because Medium brings a lot of traffic, and I've actually monetized Medium now. So there's just lots of different ways that you can bring traffic back to your shop. And it just really depends. You can try all three. You can try one at first. It depends where your passions are. Cause I know people who are like, I just want to write. I love writing for blogs. I hate being on social media. Don't look at my face, you know? So it just really depends on the person, but there's so many choices, and you can try one and go hard with it, or you can do two and go with those. It depends on what you want to do, what you're passionate about, what you would actually stick to and follow through with is the biggest one, I think.
It's funny because like I'll go in and I do a lot of audits on my shop. I came from like the digital advertising world. And so the data is a big part of it also. And I think a lot of those awareness terms like golf party and golf party decor, like they're not coming in looking for like a flag printable. Like that's where I get them. So they're even searching for these higher level awareness terms and then finding my stuff kind of through that, because I also include those tags in my very specific products too.
Have you done sort of like a mental mapping of who is looking for this and why throughout the calendar year? Because as I was pulling those keywords as well. And at first I'm like, oh man, there's not tons of long tail. It was exactly what you said. It was kind of golf party decor. So you're trying to figure out what exactly is this person wanting? Like what kind of party? Is it a birthday party for grandpa? Is it a one-year-old's birthday party? Which is good. There's a lot of flexibility there. But I was trying to overlay that to the seasonal calendar year. So right, the Masters, I think, is April 11th that I saw. So that you can take all of the major golf events of the year and overlay that in the calendar. Then you can figure out which of the holidays are the ones that are big golf gifting occasions, and then what people want to give pertaining to golf and whether there's like an accessory printable. You probably already have done this. For example, Top Golf just came to our area and it was a big deal, but gift cards, obviously you can't use anything that's trademark, copyright, whatever, but like, I don't know if you have added the gift card. Think of like gifting that has to do with golf. That's a printable. I was trying to kind of overlay that. Have you done that type of mapping yet?
I haven't written it down. I do have it in my head. I do actually have like a golf card, gift card printable, but I actually think it's more geared towards like a coach thank you. Yeah. So less of like a birthday gift, which I think would be a great idea. And I think I only like got to that because someone had asked if I have one and I was like, oh yes, let me get it activated for you, you know? But that's, I haven't like actually sat down and written that out.
Because now that you're going wild with golf, I think what's hard is when you don't pick a niche, then you can't really do this as easily. Mm-hmm. But now that we get the golf, it's like, let's just go. Let's do the whole calendar year of golf, groomsmen gifts, weddings, bachelor parties. Mm-hmm. Then you can figure out what you can make. Now, the one thing I want to, two things. Custom and personalized is how I think that's how you're going to elevate what you currently have. And I know you've already started to get into that a little bit, but one thing I thought was cute, I don't know if you sell this, but for my daughter's first birthday, her birthday is around St. Patrick's Day, but I got from an Etsy seller, these little like leprechaun heads. And it was my daughter's face. I gave them a picture and they put her face with like a little leprechaun hat. Yeah, and it was just so cute. And then we put them in the cupcakes and I was like, oh, these are adorable. And I didn't want to throw them out. I'm like, I want to keep these like sticky things because they're just so cute. But you know, I see a lot of the kids kind of parties and people want to see their kids' faces. They want to see the names, to Sasha's point, with groups. They want to see the name of their team or whatever. Really leaning into that will help you pick up the custom and personalized traffic. But also I think you're going to be more likely to win the sale because everyone just, I search my own kids' names in Etsy to see what pops up. I know that's strange, but I know other people probably do it too. You're like, oh, what signs do they have or whatever for my kid's name? Yeah. So I think that is a good way to kind of like get there. And then when you do sell off Etsy, you can charge more and it will make more sense then. Cause sometimes with printables, if you're only selling things for like $3 or $4, in building an entire business offline, it's not going to match up. But like when you're going to do these personalized things, you can charge a little more. I think it will photograph better and it will be a more of a hit on social media. Like you can imagine, look at, here's Johnny's picture with his, you know, golf thing and a cupcake. That's going to take off more than just a general like party sign banner. Yeah. Like why would that go viral on social? Mm-hmm. Why would someone, because I don't know if any of you guys follow, there's this guy, I think his last name is Mozzie or something, but he works at Meta. And he will share new Instagram features. And he was sharing a stat that people use Instagram to just share things with their friends or their family. And I know that because I send my husband like 5 like reels a day. And I'm like, did you watch that reel? And he's like, no, I haven't looked at Instagram in 2 weeks. I'm like, we got to watch it. How is our family going to do this next event appropriately if you don't see that reel? Like that's what we talk about. But anyways, I think that if you had something that was more custom and personalized, it's more likely to be shared and then more likely to kind of go viral than like, not to say that any of your stuff is boring, but like the more traditional things, why would someone share that? It's not going to get as many views unless someone is specifically like searching for that thing. Yeah. You're not going to bring in new people who are like, oh, that's really smart. You know, I'm going to remember that, or I'm going to send it to so-and-so because they're planning this type of party or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just things to think about when you're, if you do go down the social route of like how to make it more shareable.
Yeah. That's a great suggestion. I know I did. I do have a couple of personalized things that actually get a lot of traction. And I think it's because I was selling things for like $3 and I was like, gosh, you know, in one of the groups, I think you guys had challenged us to do something to add additional things to the shop of like, you know, higher price point items. And I said, well, I can make this custom and I can charge more. So I have kind of taken like some of the pieces that I have and I'll do like the custom, you know, your name party or whatever, like a welcome sign with their name on it, things like that. But again, it's still kind of a one-off, and it's, I can totally see how that would take, you know, have more traction than just kind of the standard.
Yeah. And I think that makes the social media piece less overwhelming, because I know personally, I don't like creating a million pieces of content, but if you just think, well, I'm just going to create the ones that are most likely to take off, you can kind of pare it down instead of doing, oh, I have to film everything. Like, not everything is going to have a good chance on social to become a hit. All right. Well, we definitely, I know I'm probably bursting at the seams to talk about ideas. I know, Sasha, you had a million that you told me that you haven't even said yet. So before we get into the specific ideas of directions you could take it that are specific to golf, do you have any more questions about, I know you went through the content and beyond, and you gave us feedback about how we can organize it better. And we're going to work on some of the roadmap so that the things we're talking about today, like I just told you what piece to ignore and what piece to focus on, that somehow needs to be in there so that if someone comes right into it, they can say, okay, this content pertains to me, this content doesn't, when, or I should take this 6 months from now or whatever. We're going to do a little better about roadmapping people before it officially launches. But any just general questions like, hey, I saw affiliate marketing in there. Is that a good idea for me? Or, you know, do you have any thoughts on any of the content like that?
Yeah, I think it's, there's a lot of great content in there. I think it's just a matter of like getting that direction, right? So like, okay, if I should go just with golf and blogging and kind of creating that lifestyle, then like, what are the other pieces that you guys would recommend? So, and I don't want people to get overwhelmed by the content, because again, that's me kind of like the shiny object. And then I'm like, oh, like what, where do I go? Where do I even start? So just, I don't know if pathways is the way to do it, but I think there's just a lot of content in there, and it, you know, it may take people a while to get through it.
Yeah. And I think I need to do a better job of sharing my own decision-making as I went down this process, because when we're talking to you about potentially you starting a website, right? I was at this decision point a few years ago with The Bachelorette. So I started the swagelephant.com. And for anyone that doesn't know, the Swag Elephant is my Etsy shop. And at the time it was even more mostly Bachelorette. And I created a blog, but I didn't want to go the step of becoming a lifestyle figure who people think, oh, Julie Berninger is going to help me plan a bachelorette party or anything like that. So I just was trying to milk it for profit, being honest. So I created kind of pillar pieces of content that were roundups, like Sasha mentioned before, where I was capturing people who were search kind of in and out, searching for very specific things. Okay, I want Nashville, Nashlorette, or whatever words they used, the best shirts to wear for that. And I was trying using affiliate marketing to try to monetize this blog. And then I was helping train Google to think, oh, this is a website that's about Bachelorette. And then I was driving traffic to my Etsy shop. And those are things that we teach in Beyond. But I didn't want to collect email addresses and try to become this like bigger brand where I'm selling people more things, because I had other things going on and I just didn't want that. And for anyone that's listening is like, oh my God, I don't know what you're talking about. There's a course in there in Beyond that will teach you how to do this. But I just want to mention that's kind of a decision thing where you would need to decide, like, do I actually want to take this full throttle and build a bigger business around it? Or do I just want to capture people kind of coming in and out for their one thing and that's okay. And so that's why I was mentioning maybe the social media for you first, because creating the blog is like a commitment. It's a little bit techie for people, and you definitely can do the 10 pillar pieces like I talked about, but you're going to have to learn a lot to kind of get to that point first. Whereas creating a video and posting it, you're going to get very early feedback of, hey, people like this or not. And it's something that you can abandon for a while, or you can pick it up, and it's just, it's easier. So, you know, that I was mentioning that as an option, and I'll make sure I make that clear in the course of like where people want to go. Because there's some people, like, for example, we're going to talk to people that maybe their profession, maybe they're a speech language pathologist or something, and it doesn't make sense for them to just put 10 pillar pieces of content. Like, they need to go all out. They need to be capturing emails. They need to be selling parents eBooks and workbooks on how to cap, you know, letter sounds by age or whatever. I mean, I'm going through that with my oldest right now, trying to help her with some of her sounds. That's a whole different thing and level of commitment. And for them, I'm like, yes, we're going to go all out with the blog and the lifestyle and capture emails or whatever. But for you, I'm like, if your goal is kind of like profit money and maybe not building that bigger business, I don't think you would need to go down that route. All in.
Yeah. And also another thing you can do that I did personally, like with my YouTube channel, I started it as a way to, because you were saying, oh, maybe I need more video to show how to piece together these party products. I used my YouTube channel as a place to demonstrate the best use of my products. And I optimized the keywords for YouTube search so that people could come to my products. And I did that with like this real estate template. And I sell that real estate template from that YouTube traffic. And that's pretty much the biggest source of drivers. So if you don't want to commit to a website, you could consider YouTube as a vlog in a way. And yeah. then you could repurpose that video content on Instagram or whatever and drive traffic to that. And there's so many different ways you can approach it, like Julie said. And video is definitely way less commitment. And if you're hosting it on someone else's platform, like a YouTube or Instagram or something, then you don't have to have your own domain and build out your website and do the tech part. So yeah, there's definitely pluses and minuses depending on the time commitment you can give and where you're at and what you can do and what you want to do.
Yeah. And what do you, cause sometimes people don't want to learn on YouTube something quick. It's like, well, what are you teaching them? You know, and realtors, this is their profession. So they're very engaged. They want to figure something out. You have to think of like the blog. What are people really searching for to get the answer?
Well, for her cutting machine stuff, I actually coach someone who makes religious printables, and her mom, it's so random. She's a famous YouTube personality in this very specific subscription program for cut files. Oh, wow. And people have subscribed to her YouTube membership where the product will drop in this specific membership. And then she shows people how she would use it. And that's how she's monetized her YouTube channel, because she just really enjoys crafting and other people joining her and asking her questions. So the cutting machine stuff is so popular on YouTube. Just you cutting, using your cutting machine or something to sell your products on in your Etsy shop. People will be like, oh my God, I want to buy it. She's doing it, making it look so much fun.
So yeah. Okay. So if it was like a fancy golf, you're visioning like, okay, a fancy golf greeting card that's intricate. And then like the cutting machine people are like, oh, my grandson loves golf. I'm just going to like figure this out. Or like, oh, I'm going to make it for my whole, you know, kids class or teachers. Or okay, I see what you're saying. Then yeah, that crowd, the crafting crowd, definitely go wild over the YouTube and learning how to's, even blogs too. Like the crochet niche and blogging is huge. So you could absolutely do that. But you know, you might not want to be a crafting personality. That's something, I guess my question is like, I'm sure you've thought about all these things that we're pondering, like what do you want to be?
Yeah. I tend to shy away from like being that personality on social media. I think all the things I like to do are showing examples of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I keep getting served all these ads of like the program of like being a faceless social media. Like that's a thing, right? Because no one wants to be on camera, which I think I would probably shy away from a little bit.
Well, you could just show your hands.
Yeah.
Demonstrating the product. And those are actually really popular videos. I was watching they did an analysis of doing those Amazon reviews. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that the videos that got the most engagement wasn't the guy holding the product talking about it. It was him actually just showing his hands, like unboxing it. Those are the videos that got the most engagement and the most views in general. I thought that was really interesting that the faceless ones were even better. So you don't have to commit to that because, you know, statistically it could be in your favor not to have your face there. People might be thinking of themselves as they're watching that video with the hands themselves using that thing or doing that project or holding it or whatever.
And we are going to have a 30-day social media challenge. So because you're a beta tester, you will be part of this and we're going to do it May 1st. Mm-hmm. Did you get did you get a chance to fill out the social media strategy template, Jenny?
I have not completed it.
Okay. Because that would be interesting to see who else is out there, because I didn't see tons of competitors here.
Yeah.
And you know, there's good and bad to that. Not seeing a lot of competitors, you're like, is this going to be big enough for searching? But I think it is. I just think it's what we were saying before, where you got to back it up 5 steps with this, where they just in some niches, people have in their mind a very specific thing that they want, but for whatever reason in this niche, they're not there yet. So we're going back a couple steps. I think it's golf is tied to an identity with people. Everyone's like, oh, this person loves to golf or whatever. So you'd have to back it up there. But I saw some really positive signs. One thing that was interesting. So when Jem and I were having our little chat today, it was suggesting to me for content creation that was not product creation on Etsy. It was suggesting all stuff that was focused on boys and women. Whereas when it was originally talking to me about like selling the products themselves, it was very focused on like men, like, and husband gifts and grandpa gifts and Father's Day and all that stuff. And I thought that was really interesting. Like, obviously, we know that there's huge opportunities when you niche down in specific things, but also, you know, just who is actually searching and like who's buying digital products and printables. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, it's the woman probably buying things. And they had ideas like, oh, well, ladies golf getaway weekend and like cute little sayings and ideas, definitely birthday parties, but more like kids activities ideas. Like, oh, your kids are a little bored today. Like, here's an activity you can set up. And they even had, I know Sasha's big on like the scavenger hunts and stuff. They even had like a lot of fun scavenger hunts ideas that it was spitting out to me. So I had a great chat, but I'm just curious, have you seen that, Jenny, in terms of like what your sales have been or what you're creating, that often when you're creating things for not like the male ultimate end getter or whatever, end receiver, that it's a bigger hit?
I would say it's 100% females who purchase from my shop. Mm-hmm. It's all of them planning the parties for their significant others or their children or their teenagers. And also the females in the space share and post amazing reviews. So I'm like, I don't want to generalize about the golf community, but they have been wonderful to work with. But it's I would say 100% females purchasing things for the men in their life, for the children in their life, for the golfers in their life.
Cool. So I thought that it would be fun. We should do the rapid fire like ideas for you. Because I have some, and I know Sasha, you probably have some too. Sasha, I'll let you start because I've been giving some of mine already.
Like I said before, golf team, just all the things golf team stuff. There, I sell this one random product really well. I have no idea. I did keyword research, but I'm not a team mom. But team mom stuff is huge for all sports. So it could be team golf mom, like an SVG file or something, team golf mom planner. I sell a sports mom planner really well. It's not niche down at all. Mm-hmm. I sell that all the time. It's so random, but there's just like the team mom part of golfing would probably be a big one. And you could, like I said, the donation stuff, and then just the, you know, you were saying the customizable gifts are much more profitable. So yeah, just doing drag and drop frame Canva templates would be something that's customizable, but you don't have to do the customization as a seller. You just create a video on how to customize, and that would be a really good video for social media. Just taking that video you even create for your Etsy listing video and then repurposing it there. That would definitely pique people's interest. They'd be like, oh, I want to make that for myself. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely doing more customizable things, like the things that people can frame, the pictures of their golf family. And then you didn't have a lot of, I didn't think I saw like Mother's Day or Father's Day stuff. So repurposing content for those holidays would be probably a good one, because, you know, even Grandparents' Day, that would be good. I did really, really well last year by repurposing a Mother's Day product for Grandparents' Day. I made so many more sales on it for that versus Mother's Day. And I thought that was really interesting. So yeah. I think that's an untapped niche holiday, is that Grandparents' Day one. So you could definitely do that.
Awesome. Yeah. And I know I thought you'd given me some ideas with like kids crafting with golf. Was it this one we were talking about with the handprints, or was that different? I forget, Sasha.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to you about like the like a footprint craft on the green, you know, or
I've seen that.
Yeah, or like instead of the red flag on the top of the pole, it could be the little red hand.
Yeah. So cute.
That's cute. So, yeah. And I found similar things, like leaning into the golf identity families. Like a golf dad is a thing. So they mentioned like a golf dad certificate for Father's Day, like the best golf dad. And you could really understand how people identify and then create the full gamut of whatever the holiday is for them. Definitely, we already talked about bachelor party stuff. Yeah. I was surprised about the bachelor party, but I think people are looking, and maybe, I don't know who helps, if it's the actual groom or his friends are doing this, or where people are getting the ideas, but that's a thing now. Yeah. The ladies golf getaways and cute things that surround all of that. As Sasha said, anything that is group golf stuff, like charity organizers or any outing for anyone. So I don't know, like if I were you, I would be searching. I don't know exactly what the keywords would be, but be like large golf group digital products. I feel like Jim and I would be able to sort through that and figure
out.
Well,
just like at the end of the season, I sell a cheerleading certificate really well, and it'll be, most improved or something, you know, best humor, best teammate, yeah. You know, stuff like that. You can do those certificates and they can just put in the name and they could customize what the award's for. That's another one that would be really good for that group product.
Yeah, there were a lot of customizable scorecards that kept coming up, but I don't know if people want printable products for that. But I can imagine if you had a special event or something, maybe you would want something like that. I haven't played golf in, I haven't actually done a real like 9 holes or 18 holes. I like to go to the driving range.
Yeah.
But, you know, but this is something, one thing I love about golf, I know we're going to take a left turn here, but let's say that you were like, you know what, actually, I like golf, or I want to lean into this more, or just like, hey, I want to make a lot of money. Golf stuff is so expensive. So I had to buy clubs because every time I went to the driving range, there was like a little bar and I had to like pay them $1 to rent the club. And they always looked at me like, why don't you have clubs? What are you doing? So eventually I kind of got clubs to not have to do that exchange anymore. And also because I didn't want to go to the bar with all like the retirees, like getting my club. I just didn't want to walk in front of everyone. I don't know. I was feeling really shy about it. So now I have my clubs. But anyways, those clubs are so expensive. I'm like, oh my gosh, clubs are expensive. Golf gear is expensive. Anytime you have a niche where things are really expensive and there's a high consideration period, it's a good play for affiliate marketing. Like to Sasha's point, where they're going to be reviewing stuff. Now, for you, like, you, if you're not a regular golfer, you probably shouldn't be saying like, here's the particular, you know, back iron that's going to help you, blah, blah. But there are some other expensive golf things that you could review that make a lot of sense and you can get an affiliate link for. Yeah. So that's something.
I know I saw that in the group and I was like, well, like what could I, again, and I think this would help like to hear other people, how they've used affiliate things, like exactly what you're saying. Like, and I was just kind of like, I don't know if this is for me. Like what's, to hear kind of those examples that are really helpful.
Yeah, literally, if I buy something for a purpose, the first thing I do is I say, do you have an affiliate program? Or do you like, even if it was like you're doing an article on the why Topgolf is a great place to host parties, I would go to Topgolf and be like, do you have an affiliate program to promote your website? And sometimes they do. You have no, you never know. And so the worst thing they can say is no or whatever. But then you just the golf thing, you just ask these companies. You have, I mean, even Golf Digest or something, you could send people to Amazon to purchase that magazine subscription and you would get money as an Amazon affiliate. So I always think, right, when I'm thinking about monetizing something, and I have to like this product. I would never recommend Topgolf if I had a terrible experience at Topgolf, you know, because I wouldn't want that to happen. But I always go, I love this. I want to recommend it. Do they have an affiliate program? I even asked a tool I really like to use is called Topaz. And I asked them if they had an affiliate program and they said, sure, you can apply, but you have to be, you know, you have to have a graphic design agency. I applied anyway. I didn't care. I was like, the worst they can say is no. So it's worth it to just ask and then you would just know. So that's my recommendation for affiliate marketing is just always ask. If you're really excited about sharing something with people, ask if they have an affiliate program.
Yep. And I would say there's ways, like I was saying before, where you could take this, just dip your toes in it versus like, I'm going all the way to the moon with this. So the just dip your toes in it would be only review roundups of Etsy, expensive Etsy products that are golf related.
So, yeah, because Etsy has an affiliate program. You could join that to recommend other Etsy products.
Yes. So you would be like 15... Or, you know, that's actually a lot. If I see 15, I'm like, oh my God, I think of 15. I see like nine of the best groomsmen golf gifts or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to actually, if you have one in your house, that would be great. But you don't have to like buy all nine. You'd just be like, here's ideas. Here's blah, blah, blah that you could buy. And then, okay, link below. So if it was on YouTube, or social or blog, like you would include that link. So that's like, you know, a way to get your feet wet with it, but like not go all out of like, oh, I'm going to review like Titleist clubs or I'm going to whatever. And in Sasha's situation, like talking about the Topgolf, you could be like, here's a last minute gift for your brother or something. And then be like, go to my Etsy shop, print out my gift card holder, go to Target. And here's the wall with the, you know, the gifts, grab the Topgolf. I don't even know if Topgolf's in Target, but you know what I mean? Grab this one, stick it on. Here you go. Your brother's gift on the way to his party. Done. Like, you know, that type of like content, kind of the A to Z, that's easy versus all the way to the end. So yeah. We'll put that in beyond. So it's clear. Cause you might be reading that thinking, oh, I need to go, you know, review Titleist clubs. And that's not what we're saying. Like you can closer to what you know.
Yeah. Like when I first started doing affiliate marketing, I was doing it for I had budget financial printables. I'm like, okay, what would pair well with this? So it's like a savings tracker. And then it would be, cause a lot of people like those physical cash envelope planner products. And I linked to one in Amazon. So I'm like, you can buy my savings tracker or my cash envelope inserts and pair it with this product. And it was just complementary products to my existing offerings is what I did originally.
So we're super excited, Jenny, that you're in Beyond. We're going to make this happen for you. Please continue to give us any and all feedback. And thanks for being so open for the chat today. Thank you, Sasha, for your awesome insights. And for anyone listening, we have two more of these Etsy seller interviews, coaching calls that we're going to do and release over the next couple weeks. And we're so excited to bring you that new content and the new program Beyond. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.